There's an end of an era at Birdwood Down Station near Derby on the Gibb River Road. The owners are selling after 42 years. Birdwood Down Station is a small 1,800-hectare property, and it was chosen by a group of American conservationists, the Institute of Ecotechnics, in 1978 to research tropical savanna land regeneration, water management, and suitable pasture. The Institute of Ecotechnics also had a social conscience, and as well as attracting people from around the world to work on the property, the station got involved in community events, set up a theatre at the station, and even toured plays. Deborah Parrish Snyder and Mark Nelson are two of the directors at the Institute. I spoke to them in New Mexico. Mark's originally from New York and Deborah from Illinois. So the arrival of the Yanks, as they were known, in Derby in the 70s, created quite the stir.
It was already a project in motion. The seed production company business had been ongoing for a few years. So we came in at the end of, you know, the big cattle driving down through Birdwood Downs is right on the cattle
stock
routes going into the wharf.
Started out with a 25-year-old Chamberlain, a very proud Perth company that then merged with John Deere. Because we came in originally as partners with Steve Hill, and he started Kimberly Seeds, and he really needed partners on the ground to carry it out. So originally we were the seed producing company up at Birdwood Downs, and he took Kim Seeds down to Perth.
At the time I arrived, I was 23. I was on an Institute of Ecotechnics training program in Savannah System Management. And it was a year that changed my life forever and kind of embedded the Kimberly dust into my DNA. We had a harvester, we had the baler. I got to drive tractors, chain down large woody weeds and plant improved pastures, bale hay. I come from Illinois in the Midwest of the United States, so I have a farming family background. So it was just all of my dreams in manifest out there, being able to bale hay in the big, beautiful, incredibly open sky. I felt like I had reached the frontier, and it still is. So it was the lingering traditions of the, you know, the station, the ringers, and boy, there were not very, very many women. I will tell you, we had a radio answer back, a radio, two-way radio was our communication. I don't think we had it. There was no telephone line.
No.
We had telexes, and that was how we communicated with people at the other projects around the world. And it was just a very adventurous time. There were very few women at all in the Kimberley. I think I was referred to as Sheila throughout the day.
Kind of an Australian term of endearment for women, although not politically correct anymore.
I'm a New York City kid, so if you want to talk about culture shock and, you know, everything else, I had never really lived in little towns. And, you know, within a few weeks, we were the most notorious reality show for the locals. And at that time, there was not only no telephone out to Birdwood, there was no TV in Derby. And, you know, the upside of that, I'm not really a great TV fan, is you could find everybody and his dog, literally, at the three pubs in town, because there wasn't, you know, there were no couch potatoes allowed. So it was a wild culture. And, you know, we got tested, you know, we and Robin, of course, who came to manage the project for 30 years or so, was Australian. We had Australians in our lot, but we were looked at as these Yanks, you know, and I think it's a healthy frontier tradition. We were tested. We were tested as to whether we could take it and give it back in equal measure. And that's part of the fun of being out on the frontier.
Do you have any memories, particularly any anecdotes, Deborah?
I was just thinking about my favorite time, which was the Boab Balls. The Boab Balls were spectacular. All of the guys dressed up as women, and they were just, I mean, they it was the heart of Derby at that time, that community was so alive with theater. They just it and it still is.
And you know, Derby has kind of changed its complexion. It was really dominated by the pastoral industry when in the early, let's say, decade of our project's existence. And you know, so you know, there was like a cast system at the Spinifex. There was an air-conditioned inner pub that basically only store owners and householders from Derby and station managers could go into. Then there was another one for the ringers. Then there was another one for Aboriginals. I mean, there was also a big race thing happening. And I think one reason, by the way, in the backstory of why we were allowed and encouraged by the Australian government at all levels, from local to state to federal, is that they felt like we had been through the civil rights movement in the United States. And, you know, IE, Institute of Ecotechnics, we try to really keep out of partisan politics. We try to be very neutral. And so we were kind of a neutral meeting ground for, you know, and we quickly made great friends among the, basically at that time, white station people and the Aboriginal communities. And we were kind of a happy meeting ground. And for our purposes, we really wanted to demonstrate a new way forward, a vision for the Kimberley that's irrespective and goes way beyond race and class and caste.
Started the Crow and the Cockatoo Theater at one point in order to develop our original Kimberley comedies to help lighten the mood.
It was good psychotherapy for the people at Birdwood, and we often had people from town who came out and were part of the productions. So we were part of the Derby Boab Festival for years and years and years. Then we turned our seed shed into a theater, and we actually took theater productions on the road down to Broome. We played a number of times at venues, including the Civic Center in Broome, out to Fitzroy Crossing, even out to Kulin Island and out to Aboriginal communities. You know, one of my favorite memories, and originally we had two projects. We were owners of the pastoral lease at Quambin Downs, which is outside of Fitzroy Crossing and neighbors with famous Newcomba. And I remember we put on a, you know, one of the ways that we survived was poking fun at our own, you know, troubles and trials and learning to adapt to the Kimberley and the crazy scenes that were happening around us. So we took a play to Newcomba called the Latest Greatest Roundup. And, you know, we had a Bedford truck, which was our portable stage with a backdrop. We put on makeup. We put on the performance to the great merriment of the Newcomba people. And as we were getting ready to pack up and leave, we started hearing the clacking of sticks. And very spontaneously, the Newcomba people put on a corroboree. So it was an amazing cultural event. Even a few grainy black and white photographs persist of that experience.
I think one of the titles of the play, we had What'll We Here For?
Yeah.
I would love to bring the legacy of Robin Treadwell into our conversation now. And she was the inaugural National Rural Woman of the Year in 1995. Mark, tell me about that achievement, what it meant to the Birdwood Downs partners and why Robin was given that prestigious award.
Well, Robin was a quite remarkable woman. She was very proud that she was a fifth generation Queensland bushwoman. So she had an understanding for the land, even though she hadn't been to West Australia until she came over. She'd sailed for many years. We met her in Kathmandu. And her first career was a registered nurse. And she had started a clinic on her own dime for Tibetan refugees in Kathmandu. And we were also working with Tibetan refugees, and we went kind of in partners there and built an earthquake hotel. Then Robin jumped on our research ship, the Heraclitus, sailed around the world, went to the Amazon, trained herself as an ethnobotanist. And the ship was actually in Cairns, and she came over to Birdwood Downs, and like many of the people, including Deborah and myself from the Institute, you kind of fall in love with Birdwood Downs. You fall in love with the Kimberley. There, There's just something magic about it. That was 1984. About a year later, we succeeded in all of the obligations of making it a freehold. But it was really Robin's vision, which added to the vision of, you know, our dear colleague John Allen, who helped found the Institute of Ecotechnics and also invented Biosphere 2. But Robin made it her project, and she got, every time I went there, I was just amazed because, as Deborah was saying, it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of commitment to undo the damage that was done so thoughtlessly and probably ignorantly by the original people in the Kimberley. But I would find Robin was able to inspire people to do the most amazingly difficult things. Long hours, hard, I believe the word is yakka for your munga, for your food. So she was just an amazing and inspirational leader. And she managed the project, I believe, for 28 years until her untimely passing in 2012. Quite an extraordinary person. And I do want to share with you what Robin told us about the process. So we were delighted when she was nominated, then became the Kimberley Woman of the Year, then the West Australian one. When she went to Canberra, you know, and the national spotlight, you know, appeared on her, and, you know, she was in all kinds of ABC and other TV documentaries. The question of the hour was she a feral or a visionary? And they weren't going to make a feral the Rural Woman of the Year. So the verdict came down, she's a visionary. And, you know, we're not high profile people at Birdwood. You know, we're kind of ordinary folks who just have a vision and a passion for what we're doing. But I think not only Robin, but I think all of us really felt that, you know, validated that, you know, and this is about 17 years after we began the project, and it's about 25 years, you know, from our present moment, that it was just a really nice recognition that Australia, you know, really could understand and appreciate and see the value of what we've been doing in the Kimberley.
As you were working on the land and managing water and rehabilitating pasture and experimenting with seed and building up horsemanship as well, do you think that the Ecotechnics group achieved your ambitions of tropical savanna productivity?
Well, we most certainly made major upgrades to the land there that you'll find on the property. As you have seen yourself, just, you know, you can tell by the amount of wildlife that comes in, really enhancing and enriching the ecosystem and the diversity of biodiversity of an area will enhance the overall health and well-being of the animals. You know, mm-hmm. we have a huge amount of different types of birds that now flock to Birdwood Downs because of the ecology, all the plantings of the trees and the, you know, by clearing out the wattle, which was the intent to leave the native species standing and then to plant the improved patch, to plant drought-resistant birdwood, verano seeds into the soil and to see that take hold. We have about 1,200 acres that are now in improved pastures where some of the old timers would come up when Robin was still with us and some of them, and this was at least 15 years ago, and they say, well, this reminds us exactly what the whole place in the Kimberleys looked like 50 years ago. So it is possible to turn around the direction of degradation that had been precipitated from the overgrazing and then the fact that the wattle species is an invasive. It wasn't just where the soil was disturbed, it was actually moving. And you asked me what I noticed about the times, and that over the years since I first came there every year, really since 82, what is the march south of the wattle, the wall of wattle marching south. It did not extend between Derby and Broome when I first got there. So we've seen over the decades, you can see it. These are long-term commitments. These are not five-year plans in order to be able to see the results of your actions.
The partners have decided to sell. What's been your motivation for saying farewell to Birdwood Downs, Deborah?
Well, I'm not saying goodbye. I'm actually saying hello to a bright new future where we have new owners that have the capacity to continue and to expand and to really deepen on a current level the line of work in improved pastures that that was started there. It is important. This land regeneration and, you know, mitigation of climate change, all of these things are, you know, big tasks, and it's helpful to have the land and the capacity to be able to try to bring as a tool to help to be able to mitigate climate change. So I have been very interested in, and I know that Murdoch University and many others are working on the development of clean energies and biochars, biofuels, and things like that, which are so important to the future of this planet. And the idea that we could find the rare opportunity to find new owners that can carry on that vision, which Jack Burton and Richard Patterson are doing, is extraordinary. So we feel blessed that we were able to find a transition for Birdwood Downs to continue with the rare opportunity that was given to be this demonstration platform for innovative approach to land care. And the educational components will continue to be available with the work that's ongoing there. I know that it will be cultivated and in a very thoughtful way. So we feel very lucky to find people that will carry forward the vision. And I know that the community itself will bring other elements to the property that will help it to grow and to co-evolve together with what's happening in that bioregion.
Was land regeneration something that you especially wanted to see continue in a new owner?
Yeah, it was basically our bottom line that we wouldn't turn it over. We've invested, you know, decades of our life and our energy into the project. And in fact, there were a number of interested buyers, all, you know, pretty capable of it, but we were not going to sell it to people who wouldn't continue the tradition. And as Deborah said, you know, the wonderful thing about ecological projects is you don't come to an end. You don't come to an end after a decade, five decades, a century. This is the nature of living on planet Earth in a productive, sustainable, and respectful way. These are ongoing, deepening projects. And, you know, in Richard and Jack and the vision and the background that they have, we saw that they could bring new tools, kind of a new generation and their own vision to deepen what we started. And, you know, as Deborah said, I mean, my son Mars, my and Robin's son Mars, you know, was born at Birdwood Downs, and we're going to keep our connection. And we're so delighted that they're really happy to build on our history and, you know, to include us as, you know, as visitors and contributors intellectually to what they're doing.
It was important to us that it was going to continue to play a role in the positive forward movement of the Derbyshire. I want to say thank you to everybody that we've met over these years.
It has been wonderful to speak with you both. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, Mark.
And you too, Vanessa.
It's been a delight, Vanessa.
Look forward to seeing you again.
That's Deborah Parrish Snyder and Mark Nelson, two of the directors at the Institute of Ecotechnics. The group has sold the 1,800-hectare property Birdwood Downs after 42 years to Jack Burton's Northern Pastoral Management.